We're going to be talking about the fire of God this morning. Before we get into this message, I want to ask you, how many of you have ever heard of William Booth before? Just raise your hand if you've ever heard of William Booth. You know, a few hands going up. If I was to say the Salvation Army, how many have ever heard of the Salvation Army? Pretty much every hand should go up, right? Well, William Booth started the Salvation Army, and he wrote a song over 100 years ago called "To Send the Fire." And I believe that what he wrote over 100 years ago still applies to today for the church. And I'm just going to read you. I got the lyrics here on my phone. I want to read them off to you. It says, "O God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host." How many people do I have in here waiting for the Holy Spirit to fall this morning? Come on. It says, "Look down and see this waiting host and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. It's fire we want. It's fire we plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire today. To always do what's right and to conquer in the fight. To walk this world dressed in white. Send the fire today." And then I'm going to read this last one. It says, "To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and the glory in. Let the revolution now begin. Send the fire today." How many know if the fire of God would just get saturate this place this morning, just fill this place this morning, we would have a true, genuine revolution this morning. I want to tell you, the fire of God, I believe, is going to meet every need this morning. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the circumstances, what the situation is. The fire of God is going to take care of some stuff. I don't care if it's a sin problem. I don't care if it's a witnessing to people. The fire of God is going to meet every need we have this morning. Amen. Let's take a look at this very first verse. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 through 13. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until morning. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it." Go on. "And the priest shall put on his linen garments, and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on his other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. A fire shall always be burning. It shall never go out." Now I want you to notice here, three times God told Moses, don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. And in verse 13, he says, the fire shall always be burning, and it shall never go out. Now, when we read this, it looks like there had to be a lot of stuff to go on, Pastor, to get that fire going. To get the fire going, to get the fire burning, it seemed like a lot of steps that had to take place. You had to take off this garment. You had to put on that garment. You had to go take this outside the camp. You had to do this. You had to do that. There seemed like there was a lot of process to go through just to get the fire going and burning. How many know that there's a process to get the fire going in your life this morning? But God told Moses three times, don't let it go out. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. The fire shall always be burning. But the sad reality is today is we have got so burned out on life. Come on now. We've got so burned out on life that we've allowed the fire to go out. We got to take kids to soccer practice. We got to get ready for work in the morning. We got to do this. We got to do that. And we're so consumed by everything else that we've not allowed the fire to consume us. Come on now. But my friends, you're in a good place this morning. I believe that God wants to ignite you this morning. He wants to ignite that passion. He wants to ignite that fire in your life this morning. Now take a look at the next one. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. We're going to take a look at how sometimes there's strange fire and there's real fire. If we're going to talk about the fire of God, we have to know that sometimes strange fire is going to come along with it. Right, Pastor? Look what happens here. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. I'm reading this from the NIV version. "Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." Now, I want to stop there real quick. There's a common thing that we're going to see. There's a reoccurring thing we're going to see throughout this message this morning. Every time the fire of God falls, guess what shows up with it? Yes. The glory of God shows up with it. You're going to see that throughout this whole message this morning. Every time the fire of God shows up, the glory of God shows up. I believe that they work hand in hand. I believe that any time the fire of God shows up, the glory of God's going to show up with it. Look what happens here. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Verse 24. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord. Where's the fire of God come from? The presence of God. My friends, if we would just get into the presence of God, we would be on fire for God this morning. Amen? It says that the fire came out from the presence and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell on their faces. That should be the automatic response when the glory of God falls into place. When the fire of God shows up, we should begin to praise God. I'll tell you what, I've been in churches before where the fire of God fell, and I'd see people sitting back here, just one guy sitting in the back just picking dirt out from underneath his fingernails. And I'm thinking to myself, what in the world are you doing, man? Do you not realize what you're in? Do you realize what you've walked into, what you're able to tap into right now? This should be our automatic response when the fire of God falls, when the glory of God shows up. We should begin to praise God. Now look what happens. We're in Leviticus chapter 9 here. Look what happens in Leviticus chapter 10. Go to the next one, please. We're in Leviticus 9. We're going to Leviticus 10. Some scholars and Bible teachers believe that this only happened within 3 minutes of each other. How many know that there's a lot that can happen in 3 minutes? Right? We see in Leviticus 9 that God showed up, the glory of God fell, the fire of God came, and the people praised God. But look what happens. Leviticus chapter 10. Like I said, that they believe that this only happened within 3 minutes of each other. You know, the fire of God can fall, and then something can mess it up. Some goofiness can mess it up, right? Look what happens. Aaron's sons took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered up unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died there. See, sometimes strange fire has to be taken care of. Amen? I've been in some churches where the strange fire was never taken care of. It's just off the chain all the time. My wife and I, we were preaching at a church one time, and the altar call, Pastor, I don't know, you said you'd travel. Have you ever been into a church where you couldn't get control of the altar call? Yeah. I've only had that happen one time. I lost complete control. I could not get the altar call back. It was complete pandemonium. And I remember my wife and I, we're standing, we're thinking to ourselves, we can't get this thing back. The next thing I know, I see this lady. She goes around, starts face-palming people, just... She's just popping right in the forehead. And you know it's not the Holy Ghost because nobody's going down and just looking shocked, you know. And then I thought this lady went to church there. It turned out it was her first day there. She never even attended the church there. And I look off to the side and I see her go find this young girl, and she said, "You're gonna have a baby today. You've never had a child. God's revealed to me you've never had a child. You're going to have one today." And she had this girl get down on the floor. She was probably in her 20s, 30s probably, right? Had her get down on the floor and start going through all the motions of childbearing. All the noises and everything that comes with childbearing. That's what was going on right there. And then she gave birth in the spirit realm, I guess. I mean, no, that's strange fire. I promise you there's not going to be any spiritual birthing in here this morning, Pastor. That's strange fire, right? But we see this sometimes. I've come across pastors who say, "Well, I'd rather have a little bit of strange fire than no fire at all." My friends, I want the true, genuine fire of God this morning. Amen? I want a true and tangible encounter with the Holy Spirit. Look at the next one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. "For our God is a consuming fire." My friends, it should boggle your mind that God, who's a consuming fire, lives on the inside of you, and you're not burned up at the same time. Just not up in flames. That should just blow your mind. God, who's a consuming fire, lives on the inside of you, and you're not burned up. How many of you have ever heard of a term before called spontaneous combustion before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that term before. It's where somebody catches on fire from the inside out and all you find is like a pair of tennis shoes. Aren't you glad who God, who lives on the inside of you, is a consuming fire and you're not burned up at the same time? That should just blow your mind this morning. My friends, God's living on the inside of you. You have the fire of God living on the inside of you. That's a miracle within itself that you're not burned up right now because you got fire inside. You say, I got fire inside me. I got the fire of God in me. Look at the next one. Exodus 24, verse 17. We just got done talking about how God is this consuming fire. Look what happens here. When I found this verse, this became one of my favorite verses of all time. The sight of the glory of the Lord. Now remember how we said the glory of the Lord and the fire of God, they work hand in hand. Look here. The glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, everyone that was there that day, standing at the bottom of that mountain, Pastor, was able to witness and experience the fire of God. There wasn't one person, and that's the same way here this morning at Living Manna. There should not be one person walk out those doors this morning saying, I just didn't have an encounter with God this morning. I don't understand this. We should be able to experience that just like they did. Every person there experienced the fire of God that day. Now notice it says the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. If you look that word glory up in the Hebrew, it means kabod. How many of you have ever heard the word kabod before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard the word kabod. The word kabod in Hebrew means a heavy, weighty presence from God Almighty. In other words, you know that you know that you know you've had an encounter with God. How many of you have ever experienced that kabod presence before? And that's what happens when that fire of God shows up. You know that you've had an encounter with Him. And just like with the children of Israel, they experienced it. How many remember the story of Moses with the burning bush? Go ahead and raise your hand if you remember the story about Moses and the burning bush. Do you remember what it says? It says Moses said to himself, he was talking to himself, right? Moses said to himself, I will go see why the bush is burning and not being what? Completely consumed at the same time. Now what God did was, God had him over here and he sees this bush off in the distance, burning and not being consumed. God had him get up, go over, witness, experience, examine this bush that is on fire and not being burned up at the same time. See, what God will ask of you this morning, what God will require from you this morning is to get up out of where you're at this morning to come and experience and examine and witness the fire of God firsthand for yourself this morning. Right? You have to take initiative to get up and get out and get into this thing this morning. Amen? Look at the next one. How many of you have any enemies this morning? Anybody have any enemies? Nobody. I guess everybody's good this morning, right? I believe the fire of God will protect you from your enemies. Look what happens here in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9 through 15. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was, sitting on the top of a hill. And he spoke to him, man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I am a man of God, then let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Go on. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, man of God, thus said the king, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said to them, if I am a man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God, see that? And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Go on. Again he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. How many of you know that your enemies are stupid? Come on now. You think that they would have got it after the second time, Pastor. Let's see it. We go look up against this guy, fire comes down from heaven. Okay, let's send another 50. And then they sent another 50. My friends, your enemies aren't as bright as what they think. Amen. Look what happens. At least this guy's a little bit smarter, though. says again, he sent a third captain. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, "Man of God, please let the life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight." See, what will happen is that the people will be able to see the fire of God in your life. That you have the power to say, "Man, God, we're tight. And you ain't got nothing on me." To where your enemies will ask you, "Would you please stand in on my behalf and ask God for mercy for me? For being so stupid?" Right? It says they ask for mercy. My friends, if people actually saw the fire of God in your life, they wouldn't be messing with you as much as they are. Come on now. Time for checkup. If they saw the fire of God in your life, they probably wouldn't be messing with you as much. You know, we're talking about Elijah here, but how many remember when Elijah went up against the 300 prophets of Baal? Remember that? And how did he answer them? He says, "The real God will answer by what?
Fire.
By fire." See, Elijah knew, Pastor, what it was to walk in the fire of God. He knew that the fire of God was with him at all times, and he could call upon it like that. He says, "The real God will answer by fire." I want to tell you, the real God will always answer by fire, my friends. I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember that? Where they're down there in a fiery pit, and Nebuchadnezzar looks down in there and he says, "I just don't see three men, but I see what? Four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of Man, the Son of God." My friends, I want to tell you, when you're in that fiery furnace, whenever your enemies are coming against you, I want to tell you that God is going to send the fire. He's going to send His Son to walk all around you. How many know that Jesus Christ, we're going to learn this in the next few minutes, but Jesus Christ is also that consuming fire. Amen. Take a look at this next one here. Go one more. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. I believe if we walk in the fire of God, we'll get a fresh revelation of who God is. How many want a fresh revelation of who God is this morning? Fresh revelation, a fresh knowledge, fresh insight on who God truly is in your life. Look at Ezekiel here. It says, "And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, or the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there." Father God, I pray that your hand would fall upon us here, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would fall mightily, that your hand would just come and just rest upon us right now, Father. Verse 2. "Then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire, and from the appearance of his waist and downward fire, and from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber." He's seeing some dude, and he looks like he's on fire. You know who that dude is? Huh? It's the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. That's who it is. He's talking about before Jesus was, he's seeing Jesus as the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. He's seeing some man that looks like he's on fire. And I'll tell you why. The Bible tells me over in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God. He's the exact image, the exact representation. Whenever we see God as that consuming fire, we should see Jesus Christ as that consuming fire, because they are one and the same, my friends. Come on now. How many remember the story? How many remember what John wrote over in Revelation chapter 2? He says he saw Jesus and his eyes were what? Flaming like fire. My friends, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, is that consuming fire. He's living on the inside with me. Come on now. Now look what happens here. Go on to the next one. "He stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair, and the Spirit lifted me between the earth and the heavens, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of image of jealousy was." Now notice here, it says, "He took me by the locks of my hair." How many remember when you were younger and you used to goof off, your mom or dad used to grab you up by the back of the neck? Anybody in here want to testify this morning? Come on, you just goofing off and mom or dad just grab you up. How many know maybe that's what God needs to do to us this morning? He just needs to grab us up so He can take us up higher. How many know that when we're walking in the fire of God, when we have Jesus Christ known in our lives and he's given us fresh revelation, fresh knowledge, he's going to take us up. That's the only way we can get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is, a fresh knowledge, a fresh insight, is if he takes us up higher than where we're at right now. My friends, we can't be any lower in the valley anymore. We got to have God take us up higher than where we're at right now. Look what it says. He brought me up. He lifted me between the heavens and the earth. He took them up out of it so he could look down and see all around. And he said he got a fresh vision of God, visions of God. My friends, when you're walking in the fire of God, when you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, he's going to give you a fresh revelation, fresh knowledge, fresh insight, if you just let him take you up higher. How many want to go up higher this morning? He'll show you fresh visions, my friend. Amen. Look what goes on, and it says down in verse 4, "And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like the vision I saw on the plain." There it is again. Once that fire shows up, Jesus Christ, who was that consuming fire, showed up. The glory of God showed up with it. But notice what it says here. Like the vision that I saw on the plain. How many know that God wants to make things plain to you this morning? Come on now. How many know you made stuff way too tough in your life? Right? How many know that when God gives you a fresh revelation, fresh knowledge, fresh insight, it's going to be made more plain than what it is right now? How many want a fresh revelation this morning? Look at the next one. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." Now Malachi is talking about the first coming of Jesus. But how many know that he's coming back again? Come on now. He's coming back closer than what you think he is, my friends. We don't have a whole lot more time. We don't have a whole lot more time, I said. Look at the next one. "But who can endure the day of his coming?" You know who can endure the day of his coming? His saints, who the Bible says he's now made the righteousness of God. That's even what it says down there at the bottom. Look what it says. "That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." My friends, we're righteous because of what he did. Look what he goes on there and he says, "And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire." Do you know that God wants to just put you in the fire of God so he can start melting and molding you into what he wants you to be? How many know that we got some rough edges that need smoothed out? And the only way they're going to get smoothed out is if we stick it in the fire to let it get smoothed out. Amen? See, the whole thing is we don't want to get put in the fire sometimes. Because now I got to give this up. You know, people, they go to the altar and they say, "Oh, I want to quit smoking." They go up to the altar, they stand there for 20 minutes and say, "I don't feel no difference." So they walk away and they say, "Oh, well, I guess God wants me to keep that." My friends, the fire of God can completely remove stuff out of your life. It can completely take stuff out of your life. Amen? Look what it goes on and says. "And like a launderer soap." How many remember when you were a kid, your mom and dad used to stick soap in your mouth? Huh? Remember that? Irish Spring. Anybody ever get any Irish Spring? Irish Spring was probably the worst, I think. Or Dow, when it used to be a real dark yellow. Remember when Dow used to be really dark? Now it's all light, but Dow used to, I'm trying to find something really dark yellow that it used to be. But it was so dark yellow, it was horrible. Aren't you glad that God doesn't clean you up like that? He just allows the Holy Spirit to just come in and clean you up. Amen. He wants to be that launderer's soap this morning. But this is what the fire of God can do in your life this morning. I remember when I first got saved, I was saved for about 2-3 years. And before I got saved, I told my wife, I was telling this just a few days ago. I said, nowadays it seems like people want to hear testimonies like, you were on heroin for 15 years and you got set free and you got saved. And you know, people want to hear these kind of testimonies. I didn't have a testimony like that. Before I got saved, I never did drugs. I never smoked. I never drank. I've only been with one woman in my life, and that's my wife. But when God did find me, I did have a horrible mouth, I'll tell you that. It was bad. And I remember, you know, witnessing the people. And this was before I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Pastor. So people told me, "Well, now you're saved. You got to go tell people about Jesus." So that's what I was doing. And I remember for the first 2-3 years I was saved, I'd be telling, "Hey, you know, God loves you. You know, Jesus is right with you." F-bomb. You know, he loves you so much, F-bomb. He really, really loves you, F-bomb. And I'm talking every other word out of my mouth was the F-bomb. And I don't know why nobody ever corrected me on it either. You know, it's just... I remember one night I went home. I told God, I said, God, I know that I shouldn't be talking like this. I'm not going to get up from this bed until you've taken it from me. I remember I knelt down at my bed. I remember 3-4 hours went by until I felt that release. How many know what I'm talking about? That you knew that God took it from you. See, sometimes what we do is we go to the altar and we say, okay, God, guess you didn't take it. I guess you want me to keep it. My friends, the refiner's fire, the power of the fire of God can clean up your act this morning. Because guess what? You can't clean it up on your own. You can try real hard, but the outcome will be you're going to utterly fail. You need the power and the fire of God to clean your act up for you this morning. Aren't you glad the fire of God can clean you up this morning? Look at the next one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. I like the way that it words this. It says, that is why I remind you to stir up. Some translations say practice. I like that. Because that's what we need to do, Pastor. We need to stir up the fire of God this morning. Stir up the fire of God, and then once we stir it up, we need to practice it. Because a lot of us, we stir it up, and then we don't continue to practice walking in the fire of God. And then we wonder, where did our oomph go? Where did our fire go? Look what it says, stir up, practice the fire of God. Look what it says here in parentheses. Rekindle the embers of. Rekindle the embers. How many of you have ever had a charcoal stove and or grill, and what happens? As fires start getting hot, but what do you have to do? You have to stir up the fire, right? Maybe this is what we need this morning. Maybe we need God to just come and just poke us a little bit to get those fires burning. Just poke us just a little bit to get those embers burning bright this morning, to get that fire going again. How many know that maybe you might need poked a little bit this morning? To get those fires burning, you might need poked a little bit. Now, see, that's the problem with what we have sometimes. God starts to poke us to get the fire burning. We don't like that. Because let's face it, who doesn't like being poked, right? We don't like being poked, do we? I remember when I first got on Facebook, somebody started sending me these pokes. How many have you ever seen that on Facebook? I didn't know what it was. And you'd get these things where it said, poke, poke, poke. I'm like, what is this? Have you guys ever seen that? I don't think they have it on there anymore because I think people got ticked off by it. But they used to have these things called pokes, and what would happen is they would have this finger, and it would just like come in a message, and it would be poking you. I didn't understand it. I don't think they have it anymore. Do they still have that on Facebook? Does anybody know? But nobody likes being poked, do they? Well, my friends, sometimes to get that fire going, we need to be poked. We need to get that fire stirred up, rekindled. Look what it goes on. It says, fan the flame of. How many of you have ever seen a bellow before? Ever see a bellow where you take that and you just... and it gets the fire doing what? Burning bigger and brighter than what it is. Right? You would think that... wind would put out fire, right? You would think that, right? You'd automatically think that, but it doesn't. It gets bigger and brighter. And isn't that what even happened on the day of Acts, Pastor? Over in the book of Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it said that there was a sound of what? Rushing, mighty wind. And it came in, it filled the whole people. My friends, I want to tell you, the wind of the Holy Spirit will never put out the fire of God. Come on now. The fresh wind of the Holy Spirit will never put out the fire of God. Look what he goes on and says. And keep burning. Isn't that what God told Moses? Keep that fire burning. Don't let it go out. And it goes on and says, the gracious gift of God. How many know the fire of God is a gracious gift? He was the one who gives us this morning. Look what he goes on. And the inner fire. Where's the fire of God at this morning? It's right here. It's inside us. God's inside here. So that's where that inner fire is. Go on to the next one. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. This is the story. This is the account of when the two men were on the road to Emmaus, they had an encounter with Jesus. They didn't know it was Jesus, though. Look what happens here. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us? Now notice, I don't think that Luke, when he wrote this, pastor, would have ever wrote that those men's hearts felt burning inside unless they felt a physical, tangible, real burning inside them. I don't think that these men were experiencing heartburn. I don't think that they needed some Tums or an antacid. I believe that they felt a physical, real, intangible encounter with the fire of God. And it says here that their hearts burned within him while he talked with us and he opened the scriptures to us. Do you know that in your everyday conversation, your prayer time with Jesus, he should be setting you on fire more for him? Do you know maybe if you talked to him more, maybe you'd be on fire for him more? Amen? Come on, now you either say amen or oh me. It all goes on and says, while he opened the scriptures to us. Do you know when you open up the Word of God, God will open up the Word to you and make it come alive to you? And I see so many people, they open up the Bible and say, I just don't understand it. You know, I just can't read it. I don't understand it. You need the fire of God in your life this morning. Amen? Because it's going to make it real to you. It's going to make it tangible to you this morning. Look at the next one. Jeremiah 23:29. Is not my word like a fire? See, the word of God should set you on fire. It should. You know, sometimes I'll go to Starbucks just to get away a little bit. And all it takes is just me to sit down, have a latte in my hand, and I'll flip on my iPhone with the app for the Bible, and I'll flip it on, and the first verse, pastor, first verse I read comes alive to me. And that's what the Word of God should do. As soon as you open up that book, whether you open up an app or whatever to read your Bible, that first verse should start setting you on fire. I can feel the energy just rise in my spirit just from that first verse that I read, pastor. And that's what the Word of God should do. It should set you on fire for Him. He says, "Is not my word like a fire?" Look at the next one, Jeremiah. Go to the next one, please. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will make no mention of him. How many of you have been there before? Huh? Were you just not going to tell anybody anymore because your feelings were hurt? They didn't want to hear what I had to say. Look what it says here. Then I said, I will make no mention of him. I won't speak any more in his name. See, that's really where the church is at today, because we don't tell people too much about Jesus anymore. Because, you know, whether our feelings were hurt or because we're shy, you know, I hear people say, well, I'm shy, brother, I just don't, that's not my thing. It should be your thing. The Bible says you are to do the work of an evangelist. He said, go preach the good news of the gospel. Make disciples of the nations. This is what we should be doing, right? But we end up saying, oh, I'm done. I'm not going to tell nobody else about Jesus. That's the pastor's job. It's the music minister's job. Secretary, it's the maintenance man, it's everybody's job in the church, the youth pastor. It's everybody's job in the church but mine to tell anybody about Jesus. And then there's a whole world outside us going to hell. And we didn't tell anybody anything. Look what he says here. I will make no mention of him. I won't speak anymore in his name. See, Jeremiah, pastor, knew what it was to be ridiculed and ostracized and have people say, I don't want to hear that God stuff. I don't want to hear that Jesus business. You keep that stuff to yourself. I don't want to hear it. Better take those verses out of your cubicle. You better take those scripture verses down out of your cubicle. I'm going to turn you into HR. And we start clamming up and we say, okay, well, I'm done. I'm not going to tell anybody on the workforce anymore about Jesus. See, Jeremiah knew what it was to be like that, but then he came to his senses, didn't he, Pastor? Look what happened here. He said, I said, I will make no mention of him, speak any more in his name, but his word. Come on, say his word. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. See, the word of God was in him. He knew that he knew that he knew that he had to go tell somebody. He had to go give this message no matter what it took. And he says here, his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back and I could not. See, my friends, what God wants to do this morning is he wants to set you so on fire for him this morning. He wants the fire of God to be burning so bright in your life that you wouldn't be able to hold it back. You wouldn't be able to contain it. You won't stop and you can't stop this morning. That's what he wants the fire of God in your life to be doing this morning. You know, some historians teach and believe that Jeremiah, when he went to go take this message, that the men of that city didn't like what he had to say. So they picked him up on his side and named his feet out like this. And they had him on his side. And the city gate had a whole bunch of grooves in it. They went and they took and they ran and jammed his legs into the city gate and mangled his feet up because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Anybody suffering that kind of persecution for telling about people about Jesus this morning? We got it pretty good, don't we? So my friends, what is the reason why you're not out there telling people about Jesus? We need to go through the persecution no matter what. Let me tell you something. You're not going to suffer any kind of persecution like Jeremiah did. You need to be out there. You need to get on fire for God and go out there and tell people about Jesus. Amen. Look at the next one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That word minister, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it actually is supposed to mean servant. You don't have to hold credential cards like Pastor and I to be a minister. This word is supposed to be translated servants. How many servants of God do I have in here this morning? Come on now. This is talking about you this morning. And it's ministers a flame of fire. See, when people see you, they should see a flame. They should see somebody on fire for God. That's what people should see in you. They should see someone who is on fire for God. They should see the fire of God inside you. I remember my wife and I, we went to a minister's conference probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And there was a little old lady that preached at this conference. She flies all over the place. Her name's Martha Tennyson. Have you ever came across her, Pastor? She's up in her 80s. And she flies all over the United States preaching the gospel. And she told us this story while we were there, that her and her friend, who was well up into her 90s, both hopped on a plane together to go preach the gospel somewhere. And the flight had taken off. They were up in the air. And maybe about a half hour later, after the plane had took off, the stewardess came over to Martha Tennyson. And she grabbed her by the shoulder. And she started crying on her shoulder. She says, I just don't know what it is. But that little old lady that you're sitting with makes me feel like I got to get right with God. Now, there are both two little old ladies sitting on the plane, but she said that the 90-year-old one made her feel so convicted by the power of God. She saw that fire of God in her life. She says, I just don't know what it is. I feel like I got to get right with God. That little old lady makes me feel like I got to get right with him. See, the people should be able to see that kind of fire of God in your life. That it'd make them want to get right with God. Amen. I remember hearing a story about Charles Finney when he was preaching in New York. How many of you have ever heard of Charles Finney before? He was preaching in New York, and his factory owner had asked him to come visit him while he was in town. He says, I will. And the story goes as he went into this factory, he started walking down this long corridor to get to the owner's office, that men and women started falling on his left and on his right, crying out for God to have mercy on their souls. and that God would save them. See, God wants that kind of fire in your life that people would be able to see it. I don't care if you're down at Walmart and aisle 12 getting a box of cereal. People should be able to see the fire of God in your life, and it should change them. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, where you're going. People should be able to see that kind of fire in your life. Look at the next one. And we're just going to shoot straight down at the bottom. Who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire? How many people do I have baptized in the Holy Spirit in here this morning? If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've got the fire of God inside you. So let me ask you this morning, if you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you've got the fire of God inside you, are you telling people about Jesus? Because that's the whole reason you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What good is it to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, just to speak in tongues? Is that the only reason we should have it? We treat it like that, don't we, Pastor? Yeah, we got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, now we're good. It says he gave us that to be able to witness. And that should be the most important reason why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the fire of God, is to go out and tell people about Jesus. That's why you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why you got the fire of God inside you. You know, what good is it to speak in tongues and not tell anybody about Jesus? What a waste of a gift. Amen. You know, some people, they've been saved for 20, 30 years. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit just as long and haven't told anybody about Jesus. I'm going to just give you a little test here, okay? And don't raise your hand, because I don't want anybody being embarrassed. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's been longer than 2 months since you witnessed to somebody, you might want to check yourself. Because you're letting that gift go to waste. Remember what we read about back there in 1 Timothy? It's a gracious gift of God, that inner fire. Let's not let a good thing go to waste, my friends. Amen? Look at the next one. And this is the one we're going to end with. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Do you know what will bring the fire of God? Unity. A church that's in one place in one accord. No fighting, no bickering, no dissension. That will bring the fire of God, my friends. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Father, I pray you fill this place this morning. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Look at verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, just shoot back up here to verse 3. It says, then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. I want you to just go ahead real quick, and I want you to stand to your feet.